Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Thanks to Joe Giuliano for being on with us in the previous half hour from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Still to come in a few moments, Tamba Ali, former Nittany Lion great. Chris Mack will join us from Pittsburgh, the host of the Pat Narduzzi Show. One of them. And tomorrow we'll have on the show Frank Bodani, York Daily Record, and Cam Miller from Pro Football Focus, along with our high school football roundtable. It is not going to be an encouraging roundtable tomorrow. It just was not a good Friday night. Now, they all three of them have an opportunity, by the way, to bounce back, but Friday night was not a pretty night for our local teams. I think that is safe to say without actually having watched the games.
Yeah, well, it's great. They turn the page and they get into some rivalry games. You got Shikellamy hosting Seawolves Grove on Friday night, and Lewisburg going to take part in the Tomato Bowl this year. They'll be up at Milton on Friday night.
There you go. All right.
And hard to believe that after next week, and hard to believe that after next Friday, the season will be half over already.
Half over. Can you believe that?
It's nuts, isn't it?
Yeah. Greg Wetzel will join us to talk about Lewisburg. Zach Showers about Seawolves Grove, and then we'll spin the wheel to see who gets the Shikellamy assignment.
Still spinning.
Yeah, no, I listen to that broadcast too. Oh, you mean the person. Okay.
Roundtable thing.
Roundtable.
Yeah.
Time now for our play-by-play call today. Scott Kingery takes a trip around the bases.
2-1. Swing and a high fly center field. It's pretty deep. Acuna drifting back. He's to the track at the wall, getting ready to jump. He leaps. He brought it back. It's on the warning track. Kingery's around second. He's heading for third. They're waving him to the plate. Albies throw home, and he is safe. A hit first slide. The ball goes by. And Kingery with an inside the Parker that Acuna kept in the yard. And Kingery homered anyway.
We did great. No, we didn't. We stopped. No, we didn't. You have to be a great athlete to go up and at least get to the ball. Let's start with that. I mean, you have to be a great athlete just to get to the ball. That's amazing. Just to get to it. But then Kingery's a great athlete to go around the bases. All right. Okay. There's an event going on at State College here this evening, and Tamba Ali is going to be a part of it. He is without question one of the all-time greats here. A dozen years in the NFL with the Kansas City Chiefs. Tamba, welcome to the show. It is great to have you with us.
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing really great. For you, this place obviously meant a lot. Joe Paterno recruited you, brought you here. What was the experience like to play at that time at Penn State and to be a big reason why Penn State hit a really good stretch of games, especially in the mid-2000s?
It was huge. At that time, you know, everybody was criticizing Joe. They were saying Joe needs to leave. He's done. And, you know, the players that was around, we wanted to take it into our hands to be able to at least turn the program around. And the work we put in and being able to win those games and coming close to playing for the national championship, it was huge.
It was huge.
It was a very good experience for me.
In fact, I mentioned the game against Ohio State. Everyone talks about the Beaver Stadium atmosphere. That night in 2005, where you ended up making what I referred to as the signature play of the game at the end, what was that night like to be in that atmosphere and in that kind of game?
To say because it was a night game, you know, we waited around. The fans was out there. They showed up 7 days before, started camping out there. The game started. We're the underdog. Ohio State, great team that year. And for us to play the way we played, the relentlessness from all the players that were on the field, from Tim Shaw to Scott Paxton to Paul Polezny. I mean, with so many players, you know, Michael Robinson, we all just kind of put it all together that night. And, you know, it's one of those memories that I know I would never forget, because it kind of is a signature game for us, being in there in our home and not losing at all at Penn State the entire year. And that night really defined what it is to be Nittany Lion.
It's interesting because Joe always had a rule about length of hair, facial hair, so forth. And I remember him telling me that, you know, that he relaxed. He said the one guy I would relax it for would be Tomba. And he even pointed that out to you in a meeting. And when you came in the next day, you had your hair cut. How much did Joe mean to you that you had that kind of respect for him, even though he had given you an out?
Huge. To be around Joseph Buchanan at that time, you know, people don't appreciate it, but I appreciated it because, you know, he related to us differently. Joe invited us to his house, you know, sat with his family. He treated us like family, and he was open to the idea when he recruited me. He said I could keep my hair, but, you know, knowing that I can do it, it meant more for me to cut it so I can be like everyone else and yeah. We can be one instead of me being an individual. So it really played on me. And throughout my career, even as a professional, you know, being a team is more important than, you know, being one person that stands out. And, Joe's a huge impact in my life to this day.
I'm going to get to the pro part in a moment. You got your degree from Penn State. What did that mean, not just to you, but what did it mean to your family that you got your degree?
It was huge. Coming to the country, not being able to read and write, you know, placed in the fifth grade, having to catch up to the kids, still feeling like I was behind me when I got to college. It was huge, you know. Todd Kolka played a huge role in you know, kind of steering me in the right direction, graduating with a journalism degree. And my family is pretty happy about this because not too many of us, you know, my dad, obviously, he's a smart man, but not too many of us in the family actually have degrees. But, you know, so the family is always excited to know that I was able to go to school and graduate from a prestigious university with a degree.
Michael Robinson was telling me a story that when he was dealt from the 49ers to the Seahawks, Pete Carroll called a meeting, and the meeting was for 4 o'clock. So at 3:45, Michael walks into the room. There was only one other person sitting in the room, and that was Jordan Hill, the other Penn State player on the team. What did Penn State instill in you, and what did Penn State football instill in you that really helped you as a professional in the 12 years you played in the NFL?
You said it. Being on time being early, very early, we always, our meetings will start, let's say it's 12 o'clock. Basically, the meeting will be over by 11:45. So if you come to the meeting by 11:50, you already missed the meeting. It happened to me one time. I think we had an Ohio State game. I was a freshman. And I came like 10 minutes prior to the meeting time. And the meeting was over. And I was jet back. So when we play on special team the entire game, I didn't even play on defense. And throughout my career, I realized how important it was to be on time or be very early. You know, that way, you know, nobody. It's a Joe thing. Joe did that for all of us. And include it in us so that we can, you know, acknowledge time, and time is very important and can't waste it. And whatever you're doing, make sure you're the first one in, the last one out, putting extra time in so you can, you know, have a chance for success.
you had really an outstanding NFL career. What stuck out to you about that career? What memories do you have of that career that are most important to you? And sometimes it's not a game, it's just being a part of it. What was it to you, Tomba?
What stuck out was Herm Edwards drafted me. I was Mr. Hunt's last first-round draft pick before he passed away. And I was able to stay on the team through, I think, five defensive coordinators, three head coaches, no, four head coaches, and maybe two, three GMs. And those things stuck out to me because every year I had to prove myself. I had to be it's what you've done for me lately. I had to make sure that I was on top of my game every year. I had to be in front of everything, on top of everything. And you know, playing for the organization, and when Clark Hunt took over, very, very, very laid back, you know, but he knows what he wants. Chairman, when he took over, you know, at times we didn't feel like we were going to do anything, and Clark worked at it, and us as players, we just kept our mouth shut and kept working. And over time, the organization really took heat to me and kept me around. So, you know, playing in the NFL, the organization, the Chiefs, that huge, you know, just being able to play my entire career there, that's what stuck with me the entire time I played there.
Yeah, in fact, what's interesting, the atmosphere at Arrowhead Stadium is a little bit different than other places. What was it like playing for the Kansas City Chiefs fans in that atmosphere?
It's the loudest stadium in the league, and as close as we're going to get to a college atmosphere. Obviously, we have more people at Penn State, and we have a bigger stadium. But the closest thing you're going to get to a college football would be with the Chiefs, because they're out there tailgating hours before the game, and you know, when you pull in, they welcome you, and they're there during a good and bad time. The similarities with Penn State and Arrowhead is quite the same, but it's just Penn State was just too loud, and you know, you're not going to get a chance to audible.
Well, you just brought up in that answer tailgating. So the General Mills Tailgate Nation, getting fans ready for the Penn State game on Saturday. You're a part of this. How excited are you to be a part of this, get back to this area, and see the fans that supported you so much over the years?
I'm excited. I didn't expect it. My agent called me and told me that this was happening. I'm excited. I'm excited to get back and be a part of the atmosphere. I haven't seen the game in a long time. In person, I've always watched it on television when I had the chance to. But I'm excited. Yeah, I think it'll wake my spirits up again to come back to Penn State and see how, you know, what was going on for me when I was there. It's still happening to this day, even though I'm gone about maybe 20 years out or maybe at least 16 years out.
Well, you know what? You're a beloved figure here. I think you're going to find the reception for you is very, very warm and exciting. This is going to take place, by the way, this part of it, tomorrow. It'll be at Walmart on the Benner Pike. It's the Benner Pike Walmart from 3 to 7, so you can visit the General Mills Tailgate Nation Pep Rally. The Penn State cheerleaders, mascot, Tomba Ali, a lot more on hand to get you ready for Saturday's game. Go to hashtag Tailgate Nation. Fans can also visit www.fanatics.com/Walmart tailgate for their tailgate needs. General Mills Tailgate Nation, winning recipes start right there. Tomba, it was great to have you on the show. I hope that we run into each other at some point, because obviously you're somebody that's very special in the history of this program.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me this evening.
Tomba Ali, by the way, the event's actually today. It goes till 7 o'clock. So you still have time to get here if you want to make the trip over to see Tomba today. See, that's the difference. Tomba will be here today and was on the show. Meanwhile, we can't get somebody to go from the far end of the building into the to do the roundtable.
Things that make you go,
No, I gave up on him a long time ago with him. You just shake your head. Yeah. The suit? I gave up on him. We'll come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Darren Revell of the Action Sports Network says the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office has initially denied Ohio State's attempt to have the trademark of the word "the." You got to be kidding me. I remember when this came out, we said, you have to be kidding me. They refused the application. They said, get out of here. All right. Actually made the filing on August 8th. I think we brought it up the next day. There's some strange stuff out there. It's interesting. I never really, in a different vein, it was similar, but a different vein. I remember in the early 2000s and Guido DeLeo was here. And he'd always mention to me branding, the brand. But one day I said, let's just sit down, you and me. I said, you can explain to me. I said, so I'm on track here with what all this means about the brand and branding a program. And he went through all of it with me, I don't know, for half an hour. And you can see, in other words, they're going for the trademark of the word "the." Now, as absurd as that seems, that's part of the branding that you see the players do when they're introducing themselves on Sunday Night Football. It's always the Ohio State University. And the odd part is that when you go to Penn State and you're at the corner of Park and Porter, you know, at that intersection with Fox Hollow Road there, there's the big concrete sign, limestone. Well, actually, it's limestone. The Pennsylvania State University. And I think that, you know, while it seems absurd that Ohio State would try to trademark or patent the word "the," it is all part of branding. And branding is very important in today's intercollegiate sports world. It's well worth it. What is your brand? What do you stand for? What do people identify you with? So that is part of it. You know, so there's some linkage, even though there is an absurdity to, like, they're not going to brand the word, you know, trademark the word "the." But I can see why they wanted to do it. Doesn't mean I think it's well, I don't blame him for trying it. By the way, the game is a stripe out on Saturday. So make sure, Sean, make sure you wear the right garb.
That's what it's all about. Yeah, PennStateStripeOut.com, I believe, is the website. Of course, you know, all the info's on your ticket as to what to wear, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, it should be on your ticket, what you're supposed to wear. All right. The Phillies play the Braves again tonight. Big game. And by the way, this is also, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't at least mention this. But it's 9/11. even 18 years later, the nearly 3,000 people we can't replace, husbands, mothers, wives, fathers, friends, it can't be replaced. And we should never forget, and something we also should never forget, are the great first responders we have. Police, EMTs, firefighters, long list.
Hey, come closer. Word has it Sunbury Motors is preparing for their biggest truck sale ever. Pick from Central PA's largest selection of new Ford trucks with savings up to $16,350 during Sunbury Motors' massive September truck and SUV sale. Over 45 2019 Ford Escapes starting at just $18,180. Four-wheel drive 2019 Ford EcoSports are slashed to as low as $17,320. SMC has up to $8,000 off 2019 Ford Edges and up to a whopping $13,000 off Ford Expeditions. All clearly marked with these huge discounts. Maybe you'd better pull over and write this down. The hot, all-new 2019 Ford Ranger has discounts up to $6,500. And Sunbury Motors has 2019 Ford F-150 Crew Cabs slashed to just $32,909. That's a lot of slashing. SMC is where you want to be right now for the largest truck and SUV sale in Sunbury Motors' 104-year history. Hurry while supplies last, but don't tell anyone.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our thanks today to Tom Bahali for being on the show, Joe Giuliano with the Philadelphia Inquirer. Coming up tomorrow, Cam Meller from Pro Football Focus, Frank Bodani, York Daily Record, and our high school football roundtable tomorrow as well. Let's go to Pittsburgh now. I'm going to be on his show tomorrow, I believe, and then we're exchanging time slots today. Chris Mack joins us from 93.7 in Pittsburgh. Chris, welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us.
In rare form already, Steve. First spot he's hit all year.
You can steal it if you want.
I'm going to. Don't worry.
I will be joining you tomorrow, I believe, right?
Yes, 8 o'clock tomorrow on 93.7 The Fan here in Pittsburgh, where I'll be forced to ask you many, many questions that seem very, very neutral, as if I don't want the Nittany Lions to win.
I see. That's okay. We'll negotiate this thing well enough. That'll be not an issue. With the Steelers, with the way they played in the opener, and I realize there's always a change once Wednesday comes around where you start focusing on the next one. Has this game been a bit buried because of the Steeler performance on Sunday night?
Yeah, it has, to be quite honest. Between, you know, we discussed this morning on our show, and we didn't really get into, we haven't really gotten into the nuts and bolts of this weekend's game all that much because, you know, it has been very Steelers heavy the last few days. And then you mix in, just, you know, as you were just talking about, the Pirates nonsense the last couple of nights, or I guess Monday specifically. And then the Antonio Brown story of last night. There's been a lot of headlines sort of getting in the way of the fact that this will be the 100th and we don't know for how long last meeting between these two programs. And that, you know, I think for a lot of us who are over the age of, say, 35, mm-hmm. I'll turn 40 next week, this rivalry still means a lot. And I think, a lot of people have no problems calling it just that, a rivalry game. Mm-hmm. But I think for a lot of people, you know, under that age, as if you use 35 as kind of a tipping point, they don't have the same connection because the game didn't happen for so long. And so they don't have, and you get it when you talk to a lot of the student athletes involved, a lot of football players specifically, there's not the same emotional connection to Pitt Penn State. You know, you look up and down the rosters, you don't even see, you know, even 10 years ago when they weren't playing each other, there were still plenty of commonalities when you looked at hometowns and high schools on both rosters. And because of the expansive geographic footprint that James Franklin has taken in recruiting, and kudos to him and his staff for doing that, they are there's just not as much crossover. You don't see as many guys who played against each other or together in high school on competing rosters now in this rivalry. So for a multitude of reasons, as a Penn Stater as well, I get why it doesn't hold the same cachet for Sandy Barber and James Franklin. I wish there was a way, and nine-game conference schedules factor into this as well, I wish there was a way for Pitt, Penn State, and West Virginia to play each other all the time. It's just not realistic anymore, and I get that. It's just, it's kind of sad given that, you know, we all have such an emotional connection, or those of us of a certain age have an emotional connection to the rivalry, that it's not going to happen anymore.
It's interesting because you look at what Pat Narduzzi has done. Now, obviously, the 2016 win was great, but then people may not remember, but they went down to Death Valley. They beat Clemson that year on the final play of the game. They win the Coastal last year, including a big win at Virginia. How tough is it, though, in their own neighborhood, in their own town, to get traction in terms of coverage, even though they've done some good things?
It's tough because, I mean, you've got everybody coming in and trying to poach the best of the best from the Pittsburgh area and Western PA now. I mean, Ohio State has no shame in coming in and going after the best players. Michigan, I mean, look at, you know, Chase Winovich is a great example. We saw him play Sunday night.
Right.
People are fooling themselves if they think Western Pennsylvania is just a battle between those three schools I just mentioned in Pitt, Penn State, and West Virginia.
Right.
It's so much more than that.
Right.
You know, you see Robert Foster decide a few years ago to go to Alabama, even though he knows he's going to be a career backup there, because he feels like it preps him better for Sundays. You know, and it has. You know, he's in the league now. So it's interesting. Kids look at it much differently than they did even 10, 15, certainly 20 years ago, that it's not just these few schools. Really premier prospects from Western PA can go almost wherever they want, and increasingly are deciding to do so.
Kenny Pickett has had some games, like Saturday, where he threw for 321, or like the game he had 2 years ago against Miami, where I thought he played brilliantly. He's also had some games where you like walked down and said, I'm not sure what I watched. When he's on, what should people be aware of?
I'll tell you how you can tell right away if Kenny Pickett is on, and that's if he's making quick decisions with the football. Now, part of that rests on his offensive line.
Sure.
His offensive line did not play well in that Virginia game. That was part of it. But even when he did have time in that Virginia game, he was doing one of two things. He was either making his read far too quickly and trying to get rid of the ball too quickly and throwing it to receivers who simply weren't open, or more often than not, even if he had time, he was just taking too long with the football. So if Kenny Pickett is making quick decisions early in Saturday's game and getting rid of the ball quickly, because that's what Mark Whipple wants him to do, that'll be a sign that maybe Kenny Pickett could be on Saturday. And that'll be all based on, you know, what kind of coverage is he seeing? You know, physically, are the matchups just tilted in Penn State's favor in the secondary? And, you know, if they're not showing him anything unique that he isn't prepared for, are they just physically that much more talented?
All right, so now defensively, it's interesting because I watched the tape, and I really like Pitt's secondary a lot. But here's the other interesting fact about Pitt's secondary. Four of the top five tacklers on this team are in that secondary.
Yeah.
So how well have they played defensively? Because I know that Virginia was given a short field a lot the first time they played.
Yeah, well, the problem is they lost everything they had at linebacker, more or less, or at least all the seniors they had at linebacker. So they're dealing with inexperience there. They've still had some decent performances there. Chase Pine on the inside at linebacker was a tackling machine last week against Ohio.
Yep.
He can get back and forth a little bit. But their secondary is making a lot of those tackles because they're giving up completions. They're giving up drives to a certain extent. And that's what's going to be interesting to me is, you know, Sean Clifford has shown, well, look, he's got great weapons to work with. You know, as much as I think we both like the Pitt secondary, KJ Hamler, I think, could have a day on Saturday. And you count the list from there. You know, does Pitt have a linebacker, Pine included, who can run with Freiermuth down the field? I don't know. And that's going to be interesting to me is, you know, if Penn State wants to really, I don't say blow things open, but if they want to open up the throttle a little bit on offense, I feel like they could. And I don't know how much Pitt would be able to get in front of it.
Interesting. Now, it's a part, though, for Pitt that's been really important the last couple of years. Allison and Hall were two terrific running backs, and then James Conner before that. How do you look at the current crop of running backs, especially Silby and the two Davises?
Yeah, they've got talent. I mean, I wonder how much of the first two games the offense we've seen out of Pitt is because Mark Whipple specifically wants to put the onus on Kenny Pickett and try and speed up some development in him under Whipple's offense. But to be honest, if they want to stay in this game on Sunday, and we've seen what Penn State's defense has dealt with against Buffalo and Idaho in that, right. You know, Idaho didn't do a tremendous amount on the ground, but Buffalo certainly did.
Yeah.
And so if this game were being played a year ago, or if Pitt still had those two running backs that you mentioned from the last couple of years at their disposal, I think we'd be looking at it much more differently. The two Davises and Sibley, I think they've got an opportunity if they can do anything close to what Buffalo did on the ground, but I don't know how much that's going to factor into Whipple's game plan or how much they're still looking to put the onus on Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, because I remember we're on the road and Virginia. I want to say Pitt played a Friday night game at Virginia. I thought Hall was awesome in that game. I mean, he was tremendous in the rain.
Yeah, and that was I think last year. Yeah, and they've always had talent at running back, and I don't think it's necessarily a question about do they have the talent there. It's about, you know, they've got talent at wide receiver now too. It's going to be different under Mark Whipple, and I think that's by design. That's why they brought him in, to try and get Pickett to develop more quickly and to find his game more quickly, and that's why they've developed the offense the way they have the first two games.
That is Chris Mack. I'll be joining him on his show tomorrow in Pittsburgh and answering his questions. It should be quite the inquisition. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can tell the box to stop singing now. All right. Wife. Great to have you with us. Tomorrow on the show, we will have our high school roundtable at 3:35. Cam Meller, Pro Football Focus at 4:06 tomorrow. Frank Bodani, York Daily Record at 4:35. So that is tomorrow's show. Bob Buhner is going to join us on Friday. The King with more picks coming up on Friday as well. And I'm sure between now and the end of Friday's show, there'll be more Antonio Brown news. Pro or con? Yeah, there's got to be a point where you look at somebody and say, that's an incredible talent, but is it worth it? I mean, is it worth it to be a general manager or a coach to sit there and go, oh, what happened this time? What did he Instagram? What did he say? What did he do? What is he accused of? He wants what? At some point, it doesn't become worth it. And with him, I think that's a long time ago, as you know. And again, he has an incredible talent. He makes the spectacular play, and then he takes what appears on the surface to be just an ordinary play and can turn it into spectaculars. As I said earlier, that's the difference between he and Odell Beckham Jr. Odell Beckham Jr. makes the spectacular play, but Odell Beckham Jr. does not take an ordinary play and turn it into spectacular. Just doesn't. But there's got to be a point where you look around and say, is this worth it? And I say, no, it's not. But Phillies and Braves play tonight. Phillies are in a stretch now where they got to get it done. Got 19 days to go. And they will play at 7 o'clock tonight. So it's what, a 6:25 airtime? Tonight's game. Team USA in basketball lost to France. Ooh. Again, this is the spot they're in. The every time they send a team to one of these events where it's just like, yeah, we can pick any 12 guys and we'll be fine. They did that in 2004. That included LeBron. Didn't win. Didn't even medal. Didn't even medal. Didn't see the game. It was early this morning. ESPN is scrambling right now to come up with the best highlights to make it look good. That's their $1.4 billion investment a year.
I will admit, a few days back when Team USA took on Greece, I wanted to watch that just to see how much the offense was dialed in on Giannis.
Yeah, well, they play well against Greece, but oh well. It's gone. Lost out of it. Don't really.
Well, now they can focus on Tokyo.
Didn't really care about it to begin with.
Yeah.
I really didn't care about it to begin with. I was like, eh, whatever, you know what?
Now, just with all the ESPN I was watching, it's like, oh, what's with all these FIBA basketball games that are starting at 4 in the morning that they're streaming on ESPN Plus? Must be some kind of big tournament.
Yeah, no, yeah, it is.
Kind of left it at that.
Yeah, the FIBA World Cup, yeah, but I'm not. I think part of this is on my part. Let's just take it September right now. I'm focused in on my team's my job. So in other words, you know, maybe minor league baseball, but I was focused in on the spikes, you know, every day. And yeah, you're trying to take in what's going on in general. Well, obviously I'm focused in right now on Penn State football. You know, Jack and I have a job to do on Saturday, and you know, I'm going to practices and things like that. And I have a passing interest in the FIBA World Cup. Like, yeah, whatever. I don't know. Yeah, obviously, Kevin's really into the Olympics, so I understand that. My interest in the Olympics has really waned over the years. I don't really know why. It's something I can't really pinpoint why. It's just over the years, when it comes to the Olympics, yeah, I'll watch it a little bit. But I don't know if there's too many sports in it, too many events. I don't know. It's stretched out over a couple. I really don't know. It just has. How about that? How much do you watch the Olympics?
I think it just all depends on the timing. Just the athletes you know going into the event. Is there a lot of hype going into a certain race or a certain event? Plus, the factor is, too, is it going to be live, or do we have to watch it on tape delay and stay off the internet so you don't get spoiled? It used to be you didn't have to worry about that.
I never worry about that.
Well, I know you don't.
I mean, seriously, I can't. If it's not live and I know the result, I'm like, yeah, fine. I could care less. I'm not, you know.
Well, it's like with figure skating year in and year out at the Winter Olympics. They always, you know, on purpose, they put it in prime time because they know
it's a great
ratings draw. So
no question.
Yeah, but if it's, you know, taking place in, you know, halfway around the world over in Russia or, you know, someplace in Europe, then you got the time delay and may not be watching it live.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, who the heck was it? Oh, it was one of the Spikes baseball players. Briley Ware, third baseman out of Oklahoma. Oklahoma's playing Houston. He comes up to me before the Spikes game. He says, look, don't say the score. Because every once in a while, I'll go back in the clubhouse. look, don't say the score. He said, I'm DVR'd the game. I said, okay. Well, he comes up to the plate, and I mentioned the score. I said, I figured I could mention the score now because I said, if he can hear me down at the plate, I said, that's not good. He should be locked in on what they're going to throw him. But I don't really, I never care too much about you know, an event. I don't tape any events anyway. I tape none. I just come back and find out later, like Texas LSU, I probably would have liked to have seen that game. I didn't see a single play from that game. But I would have liked to have, you know, but for me to sit down and watch a game that's already been played, it just, that's just not in my DNA. Some people can do that, and I give you all the credit in the world for being able to do that. I just come back and go, what was the score? Oh, it looks like a good game. Okay. Remember, I watch enough video of opposing teams during the course of the week for the games I'm getting ready for. I don't feel like watching tape delay is something else.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.